This week on American Podcaster, the boys have another deadline as trouble looms.
We don't have an intro for the next show and you keep building these f***ing bleepers, sweepers.
I just think we need to add a little something into the show.
Greg Sr. is putting the pressure on Chuck.
Look, quit fooling around with that f***ing thing or I'm gonna add a little something to your ass.
I'll get to it! Get off my back, man!
Can they complete the project? Find out next time on American Podcaster.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video. Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek.
Hurt yourself there?
This show is now rated, I have an email here, now rated best in class by J.D. Bauer and Associates? Ah, crap.
Sounds like spam.
This is show number 129 for July 31st, 2006. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. Take a seat. Enjoy the show. Thanks for listening. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is my co-host that I think sent me that spam. It's Craig Stepp. How are you?
I'm okay. I think.
I'm not sure, sir. I'm okay.
I don't know. It sounded like your voice was cracking a minute ago.
Shut up, man.
I'm okay.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got piles of new stuff yet unsorted in the media corner, unusual news from around the universe, and the usual plethora of meaningless tribbles. Dribble. Be right back. On this day in tech history for July 31st, 2006. This is July 31st, it's the 212th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are only 153 days remaining in 2006. It was on this day in the year 781 that the oldest recorded eruption of Mount Fuji occurs. And on this date in 1498, on his third voyage to the Western Hemisphere, Christopher Columbus becomes the first European to discover the island of Trinidad. And Nicholas Bernoulli, the Swiss mathematician, passes away on this date in 1726. And the first U.S. patent is issued in 1790, granted to inventor Samuel Hopkins for a potash process. The radio mystery program The Shadow airs for the first time on this date in 1930. And it was on this date in 1940 that the Doodlebug train in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, collides with a multi-car freight train headed in the opposite way, killing 43 people. And it was on this date in 1948 that Idlewild Field in New York, New York is dedicated. This airport was later named John F. Kennedy International Airport. Japan Airlines is established on this date in 1951. And this is the date that marks the first ascent of K2 by an Italian expedition led by Ardito Desio on this date in 1954. And it was on this date in 1964 that Ranger 7 sends back the first close-up photographs of the moon, with images 1,000 times clearer than anything ever seen from Earth-bound telescopes. And speaking of the moon, on this date in 1971, the Apollo 15 astronauts become the first to ride the lunar rover. I always wanted to ride in that thing. And on the subject of NASA, in 1976, NASA releases the famous Face on Mars photo, taken by Viking 1. It was on this date in 1987 that a rare class F4 tornado rips through Edmonton, Alberta, killing 27 people and causing $330 million in damage. And on this date in 1996, military standard MIL-STD-1750A is declared inactive for use in new designs. If you're still using that, you're 10 years out of date. Please cease and desist. And on this date in 1999, NASA intentionally crashes the Lunar Prospector spacecraft into the moon, thus ending its mission to detect frozen water on the moon's surface. Yeah, that would end any mission. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1704 to Gabriel Cramer, the Swiss mathematician. English physicist John Canton was born on this date in 1718. 1803 is the date that marks the birth of John Ericsson, the Swedish inventor and engineer. Nobel Prize winning chemist Paul D. Boyer turns 88 today. And Mark Cuban turns 48 today. Actor Wesley Snipes turns 46 today. And the author of the Harry Potter books, J.K. Rowling, turns 41 today. Dean Cain, the actor who played Clark Kent in the series Lois and Clark, turns 40. And finally, this is the birthday of the fictional character Harry Potter. He would be 26 today. I think it's time he left Hogwarts, unless he's now a professor. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for July 31st, 2006.
This is John Chatterton from Deep Sea Detectives. You're with Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Welcome back. Yes, you're on Technorama. And I just got done watching Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Oh, yeah.
I was browsing around Shopko, and it was on the TV, so I was like, hey, Lisa, do we have that? She goes, yeah. I want to watch it.
You know, I've been watching Justice League all day.
Justice League.
Oh. Yeah, not the old one, the new one. It was on Boomerang all afternoon. Hey, Chuck, here, will you hold this? Hold my Tribble?
Got it.
Dude.
Why does it do that?
Hand it back here. I'll take it. Okay. There, see? That's the way it works.
Oh, man. You got a thing for those.
Excuse me, but it appears you have been presented with an addition to your inbox. Would you like tea and crumpets with that, my lord?
Wow. I feel special. We have email.
What's a crumpet? I have some crackers, too.
You are crackers. This one's from Joel McLaughlin regarding our CompUSA help. We mentioned that a bunch of people walked in and were confused or helping out. He says, Chuck, it doesn't matter for me if I'm wearing a shirt similar or not, or even if I have my son in tow. I thought he was going to say, or not a shirt. I have actually been dressed in shorts and a t-shirt with my son at CompUSA, and I got asked if I work there. I've come to the conclusion that it seems that other than the regular CompUSA employees, I have a clue, and I know what I am doing versus the guy trying to tell you you don't need what you are looking for, but you need this more expensive thing, or the guy telling grandma to buy the top of his line gamer, the top of the line gamer PC. Joel, you're all over it, man.
You know what? They must see that glimmer in his eye like he knows what he's talking about.
set the world straight one PC at a time. I have not gotten to do my impersonation. I do have a blue shirt, and I want to head to Best Buy and see if that works. But
you
I
did?
Also want to take... No, I did not. I want to take the iRiver in tow and see what happens. Record what happens.
No, I'm not leaving, sir. I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
We also have an email here from John Isler regarding exploding laptops. Uh-oh, seems like there's another one that's gone off.
He says,
hey guys, here's another case of a Dell laptop catching on fire and causing a lot of problems. This time, there are some much better pictures as well. And he points to TomsHardware.com, of all places.
Mm-hmm. I saw those pictures of it. It blew up pretty good. From what I've read, the laptop was closed and it was like in standby or something.
All I could think of when you said that was an old SCTV sketch where I think it was John Candy and Rick Moranis. It done blowed up good!
It done blowed up good, man.
Keep up the great work, guys. John Isler from Freebie Authority Podcast. Found at freebieauthority.com. Unfortunately, the two guys I do a podcast with got addicted to World of Warcraft, and we haven't recorded any since February. I told them, hey, do what I do, or do what Craig does. Do a solo cast once in a while and show those freaks what it's all about.
That's right. Or just keep the feed going, though.
Yeah, at a minimum, let your listeners know that, you know, you're on hiatus and, you know, somebody will be back shortly.
Till WoW's over. Or you could hack their accounts. I hear that's a lot. That's big going on.
That would work. We mm-hmm. also have a voicemail from the sultry voice of Karen from California. And wouldn't you know it, I forgot to put it in the playlist. No, here it is.
Hanging out down the street from the Stone Brewery, it's Karen from California, man.
Hello, Chuck. Hello, Craig. I just wanted to call up and let you know how much I love your show. On This Day in Tech History is my favorite segment. I really get a kick listening to you tell me all about what happened and when it did happen. And as a matter of fact, you can tell me about things happening anytime you want. Love your show.
Oh, yeah. I am inspired to do more of those.
It's time to take a break.
You know, that's not a bad idea. Let's take a break and come right back.
Check this out.
A floppy disk or cassette tape is made up of ferric oxide. When a other magnet comes in proximity, it goes...
I think that's what I said, Chuck.
Thanks, Mr. Wizard!
The Google Web Accelerator.
The Google Web Accelerator.
Nope, no reverb on that one, buddy.
Oh, man.
Implying I had been surfing for 6 hours. Back, ye demon Google Web Decelerator, from my system and everything web connected.
If you have a technical background in information technology or engineering or software development, and you also have people responsibilities, we invite you to subscribe to our podcast, Manager Tools. You can find us on the web at manager-tools.com. Every week, we focus on the specific tools and behaviors managers can use immediately to be more effective around managing and developing their team of people. My business partner, Michael Ozan, and I'm Mark Horseman, both have technical backgrounds. We've both been corporate managers. Mike has been a corporate manager in the IT world for the past 15 years to very senior levels. And I've been managing my own management and leadership consulting firm, teaching companies how to do this better, for the past 10. We know why your job is so hard at times, and we want to help. We're going to teach you how to run meetings, how to coach your employees, how to give them feedback, how to manage projects, how to deliver good annual reviews, how to interview people, and how to decide whom to hire. We're going to make you more effective because we're going to teach you specific things to do immediately. Please join us at manager-tools.com.
This is Brian Kelly of Rough Mix, and you are listening to Chuck and Craig at Technorama.
And we're back.
Yeah.
I want to give a quick shout out to the chat room. We've got a whole bunch of regulars in there. Glenn Tolar, haven't seen him in a long, long time. Kevin, Devin, Mark Shepard, of course. Psycho Alien Dog is back. Welcome back, dog.
Roll over.
Steve in Qatar. Yes, that's out in the Middle East. He's out working there in the middle of the night, or middle of the morning for him. Welcome, and thanks for listening. Stingray is there. Tim Elliott Victor has joined us, taken away from his own mixer board. And yeah, rounding out the top 10 is, of course, Craig, who?
Jahadu. Okay. Thought I'd change it a little bit.
Yeah, that's what they listen for. Keep it fresh. Which
brings
us to
the news with us
and them.
Craig's got an interesting story in the newsroom. Roll it, big boy.
Yeah, for all you people in North Carolina, I noticed, I just happened across us this weekend, and it might be a little late to get it on the group discount, but there's a PHP users group meeting. Actually, it's not even really a users group. It's an informal gathering of PHP enthusiasts in the Cherokee Great Smokies KOA in Cherokee, North Carolina. It takes place September 27th through the 29th. I can't go, because I'll be at the expo. However, I was like, I was getting all excited about it until I got to the end. I said, the event takes place September 27th through the 29th. It's like, pfft. Anyway, I thought I'd bring it up in case somebody else was interested in going.
Oh,
no. That's a load of crap. Anyway, so I got a link to that in the show notes.
Which brings us right up to
Paxson's Praise Stories.
Fire when ready, Gridley.
All right. The first one is, I'm going to try and pronounce this, the Sat2Go Bouncing Ball Digital Camera. You know, we talked about that bouncing ball the military was using a while back. I think they were going to throw them in situations and kind of get a visual of what's going on in there.
And then the dog grabs the ball and runs
with
it.
Yeah, and the dog he runs off with it. The hell? The walls are moving. What? Anyway, this is one you can get for like $69. I think you can change it the way it takes pictures, like changing the timer. So you can either have it bounce and take a picture or have it take a picture in flight, which this would be good if you were interested in the camera toss pictures, you know, that kind of thing where you throw it up. And anyway, it was pretty cool. So it's only $69. I thought it'd be kind of fun to hack on.
That does sound fun. I wanna get one of those. What else have you found? This one sounds interesting.
Yes, and scouring the internet for all the good and useless stuff, I saw that somebody had rendered the Brady House.
Here's a story of a man
about the Brady,
which reminds me, I was watching.
Wait a minute.
Okay,
the
go.
The Brady Bunch
go.
House in rendered in CAD, and if you go there and look at the Flickr pictures, it's actually a Boing Boing. If you follow the link to the Flickr account, he has pictures of all different angles from inside the house it's rendered from. Even from the outside, he shows a picture of the house as it should be rendered if it was real. You know, the house that was really there, that was not the interior that they were using. It was on the soundstage. But
I was watching television last night, and Barry Williams, the actor who played Greg Brady, was on.
Yeah.
He's got to be in his, you know, mid to late 50s. And I just happened to notice, I go, boy, he looks really familiar now that he's a lot older. He looks a lot like John Chatterton. And you never see those two together.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? Oh, I wonder. Another.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
All right, tonight I just have a link, just a little link, remembering back of the good old days of having fun at the dinner table. This is a link to Make Magazine. They have a link over to Fun Dinner Contraptions.
Oh, these are good. I remember seeing some of these on, like, what was it, the Invention Show on Discovery or something years ago.
Yeah. Then one is a dunking a donut dunker. One is a.
It looks like my microphone boom, for crying out loud.
I think it is a microphone boom. Then there was the little forky spin with the wheel, like an old drill, one of those old mechanical drills.
Hey, you get one of those little Black & Decker screwdriver drills and put a fork in it?
Hey, I can see it being at Home Depot. Hey, I could use this to pick up spaghetti.
No worse than that rake weenie roaster.
Yeah. See all the fun things they have at Home Depot. And look at the bottom there. Have a corn-eating gadget, and that's what it says. It butters the corn cob at a single twirl. It looks like something you would almost use to core an apple. That's kind of funny.
The patents that didn't quite make it. Actually, they might have been patented, but they just didn't make it to marketing.
Save the past can be fun, too.
Lots of good stuff. We'll be right back with the Media Corner.
At your command.
BSG News.
Caprica is a spinoff of Battlestar Galactica. It goes back 50 years. Gray Stones. They're related to the Flintstones.
Gallstones.
And I started thinking, does that mean they're going to look like the chrome toasters that everybody keeps talking about?
Keep the humans entertained.
Because remember the first BSG?
The first ones look like Bender.
Yeah.
We had to fix the attitude and drinking problem. They couldn't shoot straight.
Welcome to the Sound 1.5.
It's 1-0.
Drinking, cigar-smoking, womanizing robot.
Arden Chuck, he's giddy.
BSG and Futurama.
Uh-oh.
This is Steve Holden from TechNewsRadio.com, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig of Technorama Podcast.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
I just realized, I think on the intro he says over there in the Media Corner, and on this segment he says over here in the Media Corner.
Oops. He's a man, he can make up his own mind. As he goes.
He doesn't sound like he's real sure of anything.
We can make it up as he goes.
We have another metric slug of stuff in the Media Corner. Take us in.
Yes, the first one is, wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah?
I almost opened the link without thinking. It's a YouTube video called Office Wars. And these two guys are going at it trying to get each other in a typical office format.
It's almost, actually an advertisement for somebody, but I can't remember. It was too funny to remember.
Yeah, but it was pretty cool. You see the guy stapling other guys tied to his desk when he's taking a nap. Slap him.
He takes his security badge, throws it over the wall. Dave!
He's like, hey, can I see your badge? He's got tape on the back of this paperweight, and he tosses it. Yeah, that's pretty funny. Go look at that. So, anyway, that was hilarious. That was a good time waster.
And I found one where David Letterman says goodbye to Bill Gates, and that's another good funny one. I thought I had the audio here, but I may have misplaced it.
At the wheel.
Hey, there's a lot to do in this show, and don't have it. Sorry. Next time.
You even told me earlier.
Wrong,
hey, get a load of this or like this.
Wrong folder. Oh, here we go. Nope, that's okay. Star Wars. Nope, forget it.
Oh, by the way, moving right along. Why don't you look for that while I talk about this next thing? I think everybody and their brother has probably heard about this today, but at Microsoft, they did a demonstration of Vista, and they were talking about, oh, business is doing great. Everything's fantastic here. And here, let's do a technology preview of some features in Vista. And they were doing the speech recognition.
Oh, my.
Oh, it was a train wreck. The guy's like, dear mom, and it printed up, dear aunt.
Yeah, and then he's going, delete that. Select all. And it will not do what he's asking it to do. It's just
totally not.
It was a train wreck, most definitely.
You know what's funny? Even the newswoman on this clip pointed out that Microsoft had complained about, well, we blame it on ambient noise.
Ambient noise.
But it was, like, quiet.
It was dead silent in there.
Even when people were chuckling, it was still...
All right, I did find the Letterman sketch. Hold on.
Okay, all right.
How about that Bill Gates? Here's a guy, if you got a computer, you know who Bill Gates is. And he's like a billionaire a billion times over, and he invented the Microsoft thing. And as a result, he's terribly wealthy, and in 2 years, he's going to retire. He's going to step down from his daily routines at Microsoft. And now, in honor of all he's done for the computer industry, Microsoft is releasing this celebratory announcement.
In 1975, Bill Gates dropped out of Harvard to start his own software company. Little did he know that Microsoft would become one of the world's most powerful corporations, generating annual revenue of $40 billion. Oh, crap. Hold on. I can fix this. Son of a bitch. So long, Bill. From all your pals at Microsoft.
Casey didn't recognize the bleeps were error messages, and then finally he got a blue screen of death. That was my favorite.
That's pretty funny.
All right, moving on to the next story. We've got the free...
Catch my breath. Hold on a second.
You can get a free Heroes pilot on the iTunes Music Store starting September 1st.
Yeah, NBC new show Heroes. I think it's a drama about people that have certain enhanced abilities, but they're like normal people at the same time. Anyway, the pilot is coming out on iTunes September 1st. Yay, free.
Okay. Now, you have an Xbox.
Yes, I do, and I have hacked it, and I'm proud of it. But over at Make, they have a link to Popular Science, and I'm linking straight to Make because, you know, give them love.
Yeah, so it's the only RSS feed you've read this week.
Pretty much. Only thing interesting. Anyway, if you follow the link they have in their little short article, it'll link you on over to Popular Science, and it talks about how to hack your Xbox. It's pretty easy. It's pretty trivial now, actually. So, and you can install the killer Xbox Media Center software, which is an open source project. That thing is just awesome. I can do all kinds of stuff with it.
Now, here at Technorama, we're all about Star Trek. Well, yeah, we're big Trek fans.
If Trek comes through my RSS feeder, you're going to hear about it here first.
Well, that'd be nice.
Yeah. As opposed to where?
And you found?
Well, it says Manga, you know, the Japanese animation house. Their artists are fearful of Star Trek fans.
They're afraid of the fans?
Apparently, let me lead up to this. First of all, I did not realize that they were writing or they were producing an original series characters in a new animated film, kind of in the vein of the old animated, you know, Star Trek that we all know and love. Anyway, they said they're scared of the fans more than anything. And one guy says, "I'm a fan," and talks about he said Comic-Con, but the manga but manga was warned by Star Trek executives, "Those fans will kill you. Be careful." It's like they were talking about some of the changes. That says it's okay with Scotty, but with Kirk, wait a minute, how do they say it? But Kirk wouldn't have. What? Never mind. Forget that. That
next story. We've got a lot more to cover tonight.
Anyway, I was going to say if anybody knows anything about that Star Trek animated series, let me know because I hadn't heard much about it until I saw this article.
And speaking of animated series.
Yeah, there's an animated series. I haven't heard of it before, but there's this guy. I'm trying to look for the name of the animated series. Anyway, he put all of his materials, the source materials, out on the web and put it under a CC license, Creative Commons. So anybody can download it, modify it, play with it, do whatever. I thought it was pretty interesting for him to do something like that.
Is that like Flash animation?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He said the first episode will air July 22nd, which is this week ago Friday. And so the torrent should be available already, so that would be this week. So,
all right, I'm forbidding you to get a hold of that because I know you'll spend a whole lot of time if you do.
I hope not money. I saw where you're going with that. And speaking of that.
Speaking of money.
Monopoly is taking the money and giving you credit cards.
What?
Yeah.
Come on.
So what you do is it comes with a card reader. And you have these little Monopoly cards, and you slide them through, and it gives you your balance and the whole thing.
Craig, the whole fun of Monopoly is handling the money. What am I supposed to do? Not anymore. Whip out my Visa and swipe it through this card reader? Next thing you know, they'll be wanting to give my kids credit cards.
I think that's the point. Actually, if you look at the look,
they hey, send
if you
look you a at the look, statement when you pass go.
Yeah, right. Monthly.
I can only pay the minimum balance.
Yeah, then you end up with a headhunter trying to collect money from you.
You don't get to put houses and hotels on. You get mobile homes to put on Baltic Avenue. Good.
Who puts a house on credit?
But you know what? Everybody.
Hey, yeah. Well. Wait a minute. Not a credit card. I meant. But you know what's funny is the card reader. Guess whose logo is prominently placed right on the front of it.
Discover.
Close. Visa. It's like, yeah, I see where this is at. First, they have the Star Wars Monopoly. Then they got Star Trek, and then they've got Dukes of Hazzard Monopoly. Now they got Monopoly with credit cards.
Well, and there's a whole bunch of local monopolies too.
Yeah, if my application gets turned down to play, we're in trouble.
Credit cards are for wimps. Yeah. All right, we have another installment of Charles Stell and his wonderful stories. This one is rather interesting. I'm just going to title this one FPI, and you'll hear what it stands for. And we're going to tell you a little bit about a scoring system that we're going to come up with to encourage other people to get their stories in.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Score. Be right back.
There was another you told me about, a printer that had an additional sensor.
It wasn't a printer. It was a machine called a RIPSI that stood for Rapid Index Page Carrier.
Okay.
Well, the reason this company was called Recognition Equipment is they were pioneers in high-speed OCR. Sure, other people could read a page, but they read whole pages and big stacks of them and read it fast. So in order to get enough light on the subject, because of the poor sensitivity of the sensors available at the time, you had to have a whole lot of light. The way the RIPSI worked was it would pull one sheet from the top of the input tray at a time and clamp the leading edge around an aluminum drum. Now, this drum had a lot of slots in it and had a vacuum on it. So as the drum rotated, the page was pulled over the drum and held down tight on the drum with the vacuum.
Okay.
Then the drum would translate from one side of the machine to the other, where they used, believe it or not, a single photodiode with a huge lens to focus down on a little tiny spot, and as the drum spun and translated over across, you would scan the entire document. And then when it got to the other side, it would spit it out in the output tray. That data was all stuck in a buffer and then would go off to the OCR software where it would figure out what it said. Well, to light this sufficiently for that one photodiode to catch everything going by that fast, they had two 1,000-watt quartz halogen lights in the top of this cabinet with reflectors and lenses, and they focused on about an inch-and-a-half diameter spot, 2,000 watts of light.
Now visions of magnifying glasses on ants comes to mind.
Oh, yes. Well, this was wonderful as long as it was turning several hundred RPM and moving over from one side to the other.
But paper being what it is, and we all love copy machines, you can guess what's going to happen.
Once in a while, it would hang up, something would stop, you would get an error, and it didn't always, the logic was not perfect. So it didn't always shut the lights off. And eventually, by the time I got there, as this product was in its maturity, there was an interrupt called not FPI. And I asked them one day what that was. What is this not FPI? And they said, that's the flaming page interrupt. If it catches fire, turns the lights off and turns on an alarm and blows CO2 everywhere.
Flaming page interrupt. I think everybody ought to have. Well, we did that article on the laptop that burst into flames not too long ago. We should have had one of those. You gotta love that one. So
flaming
they actually,
page interrupt.
They built in an interrupt into this OCR machine, the flaming page interrupt. Thank you once again, Charles. I think I have one more or two more of those. I can't remember. There's at least one more of those coming up. And since we won't be around, actually, I have a personal commitment on Wednesday night, so I will not be able to do the regular show in this format. We do have an interview with Charles about what he does in real life, aside from listening to Technorama. So you get to find out all about that. There's a lot of tech in what he does. He works for his wife, and that's where I'm going to leave it. Now, I mentioned scoring on these stories. I asked for other people to contribute their tech gone wrong stories, and I would be happy to talk to you on Skype or Gizmo or what have you, and talk to you, because we're going to institute a point system. I was listening to Morning Stories with Tony Khan, and he talked to Mark Grashow, who does travel stories. And based on the catastrophe at hand, he rates these on a point system. For example, lost luggage, that everybody has lost luggage, that's 10 or 20 points. But if it's more life-threatening, like this couple who went up a volcano and the flaming page interrupt. the volcano story was they were going up the volcano and all of a sudden it started to rain and all this fine powdery ash turned to mud and they slid down. They lost their clothes. They lost a whole bunch of stuff. They were covered with mud. They almost died. That was worth like 400 points. So the flaming page interrupt, I am going to award 250 points to that story. I may retroactively go back and rate the mail sorting story. You remember that one with the hand cream packets?
Oh, yeah.
Now, that Classic. One wasn't quite as life-threatening, so, I mean, just, it's an honor system off the top of my head. I'm probably going to rate that one about 150. Hey,
but if it squirted in their eye.
Well, yeah, you could put an eye out. Could lose an eye on Rose hand cream. So 250 points. If you think you can do better, you have a technology story like your laptop caught on fire while you were under it. Hey,
or using hand cream with it. Wait.
Let me know. Now, before we go into the geek library, we do have to take one more quick break.
No, wait.
What?
I got a rant segment.
Yeah, where's that? Oh, yes, you do. You want that now?
Sure.
All right.
My rant tonight is about Internet Explorer.
Oh.
Gee,
there's an easy target.
Well, I installed Internet Explorer 7 this last weekend, or at the end of the last week, and it's not bad, but anything's better than Explorer 6. I mean, please. Notepad's better than that. But here's my rant, and I think this has also made its rounds, but Microsoft's going to release it through their automatic update for XP, which is okay, I'm sure that's pretty convenient for them to work up their browser numbers, because a lot of people are going to just get it all of a sudden. But they're also going to mark it as a high security update. Gee, if you really thought it was that high of a security update, you should have released something a few years ago. Duh. But they sat on 6 for 4 years, whatever it's been. So please, don't give me that crap about, they need the security. Well, you should have thought about that. So that's my rant.
I think IE in general is a critical security update.
Duh. Well, that's what I'm saying is, you know, if it was that big of a high security update, why shouldn't they have been doing something about it until the last year or when a problem crops up?
Okay, take a drink of beer while we take this last break.
Son of a...
Will you marry me?
No, I can't do this.
That's my favorite part! We are happy that we are married now.
No!
It's on the internet now. You're done.
When friends drink too much, even in galaxies far, far away, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
This is Dr. Pamela Gay from Slacker Astronomy, and you're listening to Chuck Tomasi on Chuck Chat.
Hey, Craig, hand me the keys to the Millennium Falcon. I'm good to go.
Friends don't let friends fly alone. No, sober, drunk.
Didn't we say friends don't let friends listen to Technorama one time?
Yeah. Wait, don't give him any ideas, Chuck.
It's that reverse psychology. All right, into the geek library with you, young man. What have you got?
Well, the first thing is a totally free math book.
Wow, that sounds like a great gift for anyone. Here, have a math book.
Here's your PDF. Now, apparently there are a group of authors who have had a long success in a career in education publishing, but they wanted to get something back, is what the page says. And there's an elementary algebra. Now, you know, I could have used something a little more than that. I've been doing elementary algebra for years. It's called programming. But but anyway, they were getting tired of the current cycle of let's produce books on a quick turnaround so that students would continually have to buy new books and couldn't use old ones for very long. So, you know, saying like you couldn't turn around and sell your books back because the course has changed by the time, you know, it gets back in somebody else's hands. So anyway, there you can go download the free elementary algebra, and there will be a homework assignment in chapter 3 for the next show.
Now, in our charter for Technorama, we say, yeah, we try to stay away from the Microsoft, Apple, Google news, but we also try to stay on the offbeat. So we found a combination, a happy compromise between Google and the offbeat.
Yeah. Did you watch the video by chance?
No, I didn't see this. If this is a video, why isn't it in the media corner?
Because it's kind of a hack and a strange story. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
What it is so it was all over the place, so I didn't know where to stick it. No answer. Don't say anything.
No comment necessary.
Anyway, this company, I'm not quite sure what they're all about. Anyway, it's linked to their site. And I think they're a software company, and they did some work for Google, and they wanted to get something back. So what they did was they decided they were going to deliver about 1,000 pizzas to Google and just show up and feed them lunch.
Yeah.
So they scouted out. The guy was able to walk up to the Googleplex, you know, their little area. Or the Googleplex is their office area. But in the center, they have that, you see in that area, it's got like some colorful balls and a place for them to sit outside. It's like a, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's like a commons area thing. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Well, the guy scouted it out, and he's able to get in there. And anyway, he came back, and they had a whole several vans. A bunch of people were helping him out to deliver all these pizzas, and there was like 1,000 pizzas. And they were having a good time until the Google chefs decided to come outside and find out why nobody was eating their food today. I mean, they got some high-class chefs in there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're being trumped up by pizzas outside. Anyway, you can go check it out. It's funny. The guy does a good job narrating it, and it makes it funny. So.
And pizza happens to be one of the four basic food groups of system administrators. Friday was System Administrator Appreciation Day. And did you know that there is a SysAdmin of the Year award?
You know, I just found out about that. I did not know.
Yeah. Our link on the show notes, did we correct that to sysadminday.com?
I think I fixed the link.
Okay. This one is to sysadminoftheyear.com, and I understand that Kevin Devon got nominated for this.
Yes, he got nominated, but he's a member of the group that's sponsoring this. So
that's right. Yep.
But it was cool. One of his users submitted him for this, and, you know, you can submit some of your sysadmins if you think they deem eligible to belong in for the SysAdmin of the Year. They get this prize is pretty cool. They get a grand prize to Splunk, which is a professional conference in Washington D.C.
Yep,
and that's a $2,500 prize. And then of course the Apple MacBook. Now you can submit me, but I'm not really an admin. But
I might have to.
Do they check? Do they check? I wonder.
Some of my own guys.
Hey, but look at the shirt. 10110 is the last one.
Sounds like someone stuttering out our show. And a binary high five. 10101010.
Smack.
We have a ton of other links in the Geek Library, courtesy of Mad Marv, as usual. And we're not even going to go through some of them because they're PG-13. We'll just leave it at that. So that means we're out of here. It's time to roll the credits. We have about 45 minutes of love for you, and thank you for listening. Don't forget, we are still collecting pictures. I'm going to request that everybody get their pictures to me in the month of August so that I have time to, you know, arrange things during the month of September, because the presentation is at the end of September. So if you could get me those as soon as possible, the sooner the better. I would appreciate it. I am doing a presentation for the Podcast and Portable Media Expo at the end of September, and I'm still about a lot short. We'll just leave it at that ubiquitous figure.
I'll get you mine this week, I promise.
I'm going to stick in some of mine. In fact, I have been scouring some friends or contacts on Flickr and taking a few. But they've said it was okay.
Can I wear my Technorama shirt in the picture?
Yeah, if it still fits.
Yeah, of course. What are you saying?
If you want to get in touch with us, contact us on the listener line, 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email me, Chuck, at chuckchat.com. Audio comments, if you've got them, if you want to email them, chuckchat@gmail.com. Craig is K-R-E-G at chuckchat.com. And the website is always the one constant in the universe for the forum, swag, webcam, mail list, links, and all the show notes and more can be found at chuckchat.com. This show is a proud member of FriendsInTech.com.
Audio streaming provided by Scott Reynolds.
Chat room. Thanks, Scott. Provided by Freenode.net.
Hey, and if you're getting the show by clicking on the link on the website, consider subscribing to us and stick with us for a little while. You can do that with iTunes or another podcatching client. And if you need some help with that, let us know.
Drop us an email at one of the aforementioned. Just click your click wheel and rewind a little bit. You'll hear the emails.
Yeah, or just listen to the show again.
Tell a friend about Technorama. Don't forget, hey, I think I've probably recommended a dozen podcasts this week. It's easy. Tell them. They'll love you for it. And as always, a binary high five in without stuttering.
101.
Thank you for listening. Take care. Till next time. Adios.
Bye now. Sit, psychoalien dog, sit. Good dog.